Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to The Offseason, a show covering the Miami Dolphins, the NFL, pop culture, drinking culture, and of course, professional wrestling. Now, here are your hosts, Alf Artiaga and myself.
And we're on, and this is The Offseason, the debut of The Offseason. I'm Alfredo Artiaga. Merrick Brave is with me. Hello, Merrick.
Hello, Alf. How you doing? This is exciting. What an exciting day. The very first episode of the offseason, me and you getting together, shooting shit with our fellow Dolphins fans here live. And then, of course, later on the 3YPC feed. But, hey, we're doing the deal. I'm excited to be here with you. Let's have some fun, shall we?
Yeah, and if you want to watch us do this live, you could go on our Discord. That's discord.gg/onlyfins. And you could get on there for $3 a month. All right, I know you're going to go get your son later on, right? Like he has a baseball game?
Yeah, baseball game tonight. I got two sons, ages 8 and 12, and they are both in Little League, and they have games on opposite nights and practices on opposite nights, so it's all baseball all the time in the Brave household.
All right, but when you come back from that, what are you going to be drinking? Because I know what I'm going to be drinking. As I watch the Panthers eviscerate the Boston Bruins tonight.
Well, I stopped at the liquor store a couple days ago to prepare myself, for tonight. And I grabbed myself a bottle of Western Sun Prickly Pear Flavored Vodka. Western Sun, a distillery in Pilot Point, Texas. 10 times distilled vodka. Very, very smooth. This prickly pear flavored vodka here actually mixes really well with the Diet 7-Up you were talking about last time I was on with you on the Q&A live. So got a nice little fruity flavor, a light flavor, a summer flavor, and I'm digging it so far.
Yeah.
How about you? What are you drinking?
Tonight it's going to be Woodford Reserve and ginger ale with a slice of lime. It's a go-to drink, but that's what I'm going to go to tonight. I'm not going to, because I can't drink beer 3 days in a row, and I'm going to be drinking tomorrow. So, yeah, it's going to be Woodford Reserve, and it's going to be ginger ale and Canada Dry Diet ginger ale and a slice of lime. It's always a go-to, and I'll probably take that bottle.
I like that you said we got the diet ginger ale in there, man. We got to watch our calories. We're getting up there in age.
Yes, we can't. Yeah, I'm drinking light beer now, which is insane. But but yeah, you got to do it. You know, I'm headed toward my playing weight, which is it's been a while. It's been almost 25, 30 years, I would say. So yeah,
oh, wow.
I'm headed down to my playing weight, and I don't think anything's gonna stop me. Okay,
So what are you doing? Are you back in the gym? You going for jogs? You doing a little boxing? What are you doing?
I'm doing all of those things. I'm doing I'm walking long distances every single day, and then I'm doing some dumbbell work and some kettlebells. So yeah, I'm pretty much doing as much as I can right now without hurting myself.
Yeah. I feel you. Now, I might be younger in age, but I feel like my body might even be older than yours just from 20 years of professional wrestling. I've done a lot of damage to this body here. I'm actually getting hernia surgery in a couple weeks. I didn't even know I had a hernia. I went to the doctor, and they were like, oh, by the way, So that's fun. But yeah, I'm right there with you, Alf. When I get in the gym, it's not like I'm 20 years old anymore. I got to do these old man workouts, but you know, it's necessary because you still want to stay in shape and you want to live a long life, and we don't want any heart attacks or anything like that happening. But if you go too hard, then you end up with the torn ligaments in the knees and the separated shoulders and all this stuff. These young kids, they have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I got to live to at least 120 to see the Dolphins win a Super Bowl.
It might take that long.
You know? So I want to give them plenty of time. You know what I mean? Give them a wide berth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, we'd like that to happen sooner rather than later. And I mean, this current squad, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but they're looking pretty good. I dare I say this roster on paper is better than last year's roster. What do you say, Alf?
Yeah, I think it is. I think this is a better roster, and I think we could start right there. They made a little bit of news today. They had the rookies out there. They had all the rookies and a very, very old rookie in Aaron Lynch. I don't know, 31-year-old Aaron Lynch. 7-year veteran. I don't know what the hell he was doing out there, but evidently he qualified to be out there today. But I guess let me touch on Odell Beckham with you, because I've been talking about Odell Beckham ad nauseum all week, but I got to get your take on it. Pretty exciting signing. It fixes a problem they had last year. I would say that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, people hear Odell Beckham and they think that we as Dolphins fans, and maybe some Dolphins fans are, I know I'm not and you're certainly not, neither is Chris or Simon on the other show there, but we're not looking at this Odell signing like he is Odell Beckham Jr. from 2015, you know what I mean, in his rookie year or second year with the Giants. He is the perfect wide receiver three for this offense. He doesn't need to be the number one guy. He doesn't even need to be the number two guy. You have Tyreek Hill, you have Jaylen Waddle for that. But as Chris, you know, astutely pointed out multiple times, Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill were only on the field together 40% of the time. So you need somebody else who can come in there and, quite frankly, be a threat and be a big play threat, a threat to go deep, a threat to score, or even just he can go deep and open up routes for the other guys underneath. I think he was a very good signing, and that's before I saw the contract numbers, which is 1 year and a base salary of $3 million. Come on, that's a steal. That's an ultimate steal for a player the caliber of Odell Beckham Jr., even if he is 31 years old, soon to be 32 years old. I love the signing. I'm over the moon with the signing.
Did you see any of the sound from the rookies today as they met with the media? Or any of the pictures?
I did, and yeah, I am developing a man crush very quickly on Mo Kamara. Like, that dude has the perfect attitude for a rookie. I love the fact he was asking, you know, what did it mean putting on a Dolphins jersey for the first time? And he said, it means I made it to the locker room. And now I got to bust my ass to be able to make it to the field on game day. You know, I love that kind of attitude from that dude. He's quickly going to become one of my favorite players on this team.
Yeah, I really liked what Patrick Paul had to say about our head coach, Mike McDaniel. He was saying that that's a guy that will make him run through a brick wall. Mm-hmm. You know, I also saw Matos talk in his native language, in Spanish, and he sounded like every single Dominican I've ever met here in Miami, which is kind of weird. It's kind of weird seeing it out of a football player, right? But the only thing you could take from it is two things. It's going to be really confusing in camp when the Washington brothers are together, because they're both 5'8 and a half, and one is wearing 82 and the other one's wearing 83, and their uniforms in the back do not have M. Washington and T. Washington. They both just have Washington.
Yeah, so they need to do something to differentiate those guys, because I did see a couple clips of them standing on the field together, and I'm like, these guys look identical.
Yeah, and by the way, the balls on Jaquan Burton, man, he's gonna be a nice player too. He's gonna be fun to watch because he's fast from FAU. The guy took 42. That number belongs to Paul Warfield in the Hall of Fame. It's been essentially retired for all intents and purposes. Hardly anybody ever wears 42. So,
but I like it, man. I like the attitude on these young guys. They feel like their heads are screwed on straight. They came ready to work. And I mean, you're down there, Alf. I'm in Iowa today. We got a high of 70 today, which feels good for us. Am I right? Did I read that right? 96, 97 degrees in Miami today?
Yeah, but it didn't feel that way. For whatever reason, it was kind of breezy. Yeah, because I was, you know, because I saw that and I'm like, Jesus, you know, am I going to do my walk at 11? And then I'm, you know what? I'm just going to do my walk at 11. It's not going to be that hot. I went out there. I expected to die. And no, it was fine. There was like a little breeze in the air.
Too bad. Yeah, well, I think you guys are built different, a little different down there. 97 degrees in Iowa, no matter how breezy it is. And we're dying over here. We're trying to find shade anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, camp is oppressive. I'm talking about in August, like that's awful. Like that's ridiculous. Another thing I did see, and it was cool to see, because you know these guys are just they're running around in shorts, so you can't really, you know, get the cut of anybody just by looking at them. But it was nice to see. Look, you saw Chop Robinson standing right next to Aaron Lynch, and Aaron Lynch is 6'5", 265 pounds. And he looked the part. He didn't look small. He looked like a pretty rangy and long guy, which is not what everybody was saying. Everybody was saying he's a little bit more compact at 6'3", 255 pounds. But, nah, he has length to him. Chop Robinson's not a small guy. He's not a small edge player.
No, and I'm starting to get the vibe around Chop Robinson that he – when we look back on this draft 2, 3, 4 years from now, people are going to be saying that he was a steal of the first round, you know, that he fell as far as he did. The fact that he can line up on the edge and get to the quarterback, the fact that he can line over the center, you know, as a nose tackle on pass rushing downs and create as much havoc as he does. Like, this defense is going to be a lot different, right? You know, you lose a Christian Wilkins, so people are like, oh, this interior pass rush isn't going to be there. And then you take a look at what Chop Robinson did in college and what Anthony Weaver is likely to do, you know, coming from Baltimore with these edge guys, you know, lining up in that nose position on pass rushing downs. And Jalen Phillips has a history of doing that as well. I think this defense is going to be scary, like really scary to opposing offensive coordinators and opposing quarterbacks, really.
Yeah, no, I like the personnel on defense, and they don't really need too much going forward. Maybe another edge rusher that will show up late in camp, you know, some type of vet, and a safety. I do think that they need a safety if they want to get to everything that they want to get to as far as, you know, their playbook. But moving on, the other story of the week was the Brady roast. Did you see this?
I watched it. I watched the whole thing, Alf. It was 4 or 4.5 hours long, and I watched it from start to finish. And I'm not going to lie, I laughed my ass off the whole time. I thought it was hilarious.
First of all, I like how everybody just plays to their stereotype. It is true. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, to call Rob Gronkowski a meathead is an insult to meat. You know, like, he's not very smart. Okay, I thought one of the best jokes was Bill Belichick saying, "Yeah, Rob Gronkowski, stop doing your job."
Oh my God, Belichick was great. Gronk, you know, for Gronk being who Gronk is, I thought he did a great job. Julian Edelman killed it. And then when Brady got to get up there at the end and he didn't acquiesce and he put two middle fingers in the air and he basically said suck it to everybody who was roasting him earlier in the night. I thought it was great. It's one of those moments where we spent 20 years hating Tom Brady and hating Bill Belichick. And I still hate Bill Belichick. Don't get me wrong here. I thought he did a good job on the roast. But like I think the ice was melting a little bit in regards to my feelings towards Tom Brady. And that may sound sacrilege to Dolphins fans. Trust me, I've been a Dolphins fan since I was 5 years old, 1991. So I lived through the entire Tom Brady 2 decades of dominance, just like everybody else did, or a lot of us did. And I hated that man with everything, every fiber of my being. But after watching that roast and seeing how he took the jokes the way he did and you know, just the self-deprecating humor, the ice melted slightly, just a little bit. I'm not willing to say I like Tom Brady. I'm not going that far. But as far as the roast goes, I thought that was some entertaining, high-quality comedy. And I really just loved the fact that it was like kind of like old school comedy stand-up special. You know what I'm saying, Alf? People weren't worried about being canceled and being ultra PC and all that stuff. And don't get me wrong, I'm for equality and I'm for everybody's rights and all of that stuff and all of those things. But I'm a firm believer in jokes are jokes, and you got to learn to laugh at yourself. That's something my mom told me as a young boy. You have to learn to laugh at yourself, because if you don't, life is going to be quite difficult for you. So that's kind of how me and my friends treated each other growing up. We were always, you know, shitting on each other and taking digs at each other, and then we laughed at the end of it. And it was nice to see something on, you know, something as big as this Tom Brady roast, you know, on Netflix live for 4 hours straight. It was nice to see them kind of embrace that a little bit. And I, to be fair, I haven't seen a lot of backlash or a lot of criticism from it, except from Gisele Bündchen and maybe Kim Kardashian. But
yeah, she got booed.
But I thought it was good.
Yeah, she got booed.
She really did. I heard they edited that out of the rebroadcast that you can go back and you can watch it on Netflix now. She was booed heavily live, but I heard they edited it out.
Wow. Yeah, and by the way, just as an aside, Bill Belichick will be on the Manning cast all season next year, so that's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, with the
that,
two Mannings.
That will be great. That's fun to watch. That's a good show. Yeah.
Nikki Glaser was doing the rounds, and she was on with Pat McAfee. Some of her jokes were just so good, you know?
She killed it, and I got to be honest, not a big Nikki Glaser fan. I think she leans into the, hey, I'm trying to mince my words a little bit here, but we are uncensored. She leans into the, you know, I'm a slut comic, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's a very intelligent young woman. She does that. It's her shtick. It's her gimmick. I come from the pro wrestling world. I get this fully. It's her gimmick. That's what she does. But I'm not a big fan of her regular comedy, but I thought she killed it. I'm right with you, Alf. I thought she killed it on this Brady roast.
Yeah, one of her jokes that I believe it got cut out, and or somebody else told it, or she told it, or she said that it was written for her and she didn't, and somebody else gave it. But I saw that it was in one of the cuts, and I think she probably repeated it on the Howard Stern show, where she said, and this brings me to something I'm going to talk about Tom Brady here, about how delusional he is as far as his confidence. His irrational confidence, okay? Because she says, "Yeah, your wife cheated on you with a jiu-jitsu instructor. How does it feel to know that this guy can kick your ass while he eats hers?"
I think she said that one live. That one was
that
live.
One was live, right? Like that's just a monster. That's just so good. And by the way, how delusional is Tom Brady? To say, hey, honey, what are you doing today? Well, I'm taking jiu-jitsu. You're taking jiu-jitsu, huh? With who? No, with this guy. And I'm like, really? and he doesn't like it. Like his ears don't go up a little bit. You know, his spidey senses don't fire.
A little one-on-one jiu-jitsu training with a beautiful young Brazilian man.
Yeah,
and he doesn't go,
Yeah, and of course, I thought that ended precisely how everybody thought it would end, you know?
Yeah, so we got somebody in the chat asking what the details are on this new podcast, or this new show. Hey, man, we're just hanging out. We're shooting the shit. We want this to feel like you're at a dive bar with us, right? So Alf's already, you know, repeating jokes about eating ass. If that doesn't describe what this podcast is going to be all about... that type of humor, that type of content, that type of just bar talk, you know what I mean? Then I don't know what else is. That's that's a great illustration of what we're going to provide the people for the next few months, Alf.
Yeah, I thought to get back to that roast, the roast was just so good. It was so good. I'm not going to repeat too many of the jokes there, but I thought Tony Hinchcliffe was a star. But he's always a star. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen him live. Like, he's really, really good.
I have not. That was my first time seeing him, and I was definitely impressed.
He has a show that he does on Madison Square Garden. It's called Kill Tony. And the premise is really good. Like, they bring people up, and they give you, I think, 3 minutes to do a set. And you got to make people laugh with 3 minutes. And if you suck, him and a panel of comics just tell you, okay, you suck. You know what I mean?
That's great. Just you know? Instant feedback. Yeah, and don't waste your time.
And some people are really, really funny when working with that. You know? You know? But, yeah, he's great. And everybody was good. Everybody was good on that roast. Hardly anybody bombed. No. Drew Bledsoe was good. You know,
he was great. Yeah, the only person that I was like, ah, they were okay, was Randy Moss, and I still thought he did a good job.
Yeah, he was okay. He was no big deal. You know, and that's really hard to do.
I thought Julian Edelman killed it, man. I'll tell you what, I was expecting some good roasts just because I've been a fan of all the roasts. You know, going back to the Comedy Central days when they used to put these on all the time back when I was in high school. I was expecting, you know, some non-PC humor. I was not expecting that many Aaron Hernandez suicide jokes. I, like, exclaimed. I screamed out loud the first time I heard it. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe they went there.
And what did
but
you
they
make,
definitely went there.
And what did you make of actually, Bob Kraft was off limits. Like, they actually put,
yeah.
Like, what was that about? Do you think that the old man actually sent word down the pipeline, like, hey, keep me out of this shit? You think that he actually
I don't. I think they were given different rules and regulations, right? And they immediately broke them. Ross went up there and did the Robert Kraft happy ending joke, and then you saw Tom Brady get up and almost Will Smith him and said, "Don't do that."
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shit again, which was awesome. But yeah, no, Robert Kraft being there, you know, you got to see him and Bill Belichick kind of mend fences a little bit, although Robert Kraft really wanted to mend fences, and Bill Belichick, you could see he was a little standoffish still. Yeah, I think he did eventually take the shot, but he waited a good 15 seconds after Kraft took his.
Yeah, and of course, Gronk got his shot glass and smashed it in the ground and sent glass flying everywhere, which is...
Yeah. Gronk was always one guy that I secretly loved, even when he was torching the shit out of the Dolphins and every other franchise, just because of his personality. Like, I love the fact that he embraces the fact that he's a stone-cold idiot and says, I don't care. I'm damn good at football. I'm not good at anything else. This is me. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, no, it was a great roast. Just a great roast.
Fantastic. If you haven't seen it, check it out on Netflix. Netflix, you want to sponsor us the off season? Come on over here. Give us the money.
Yeah. It also saw this week. Also saw a pretty big wrestling event in France, of all places.
Yeah.
Known. I had no idea that it was such a small arena. It only seats 11,000, but that place was rocking and rolling. Like, who knew that the French liked wrestling so much?
I think wrestling is a universal language, Alf. We get students at my school, the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy that I run with Seth Rollins of WWE. We get students from all over the world. We've had students from France. We just actually graduated a student. He wrestles under the name Helios, H-E-L-I-O-S. S. Had to make sure I got that right. Check him out on Instagram. You can find it. I'm not sure there's many Helioses on there. But he just came in from France, and he was respectful and worked hard, had a great attitude, and was damn good in the ring. So, wrestling is a universal language. It's beloved all over the world. Have you seen, not to cut you off on this France show, have you seen those guys in, like, I'm not sure exactly where it is, Ethiopia or something like that, where they have they basically wrestle on the dirt, and they have a crowd that stands around the ropes that they put up, kind of makeshift style. You can't use these ropes; they're not functional. And these guys put on full on wrestling events just in the dirt. And recently, a couple released WWE guys. They were like the male model gimmicks, right? I can't remember their names. They went over there and they wrestled on one of their shows. You know what I mean? So, man, if wrestling's big in Ethiopia or Uganda or one of those places, then, oh, yeah, it's killing in France.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to run some wrestling takes by you, and you tell me what you think. Okay? And this
Absolutely.
Is from the...
People got to know. Alf, right here... Miami Dolphins expert, right? He's been there. He's done that. He goes to camp. He interviews the players. Like, he is well-connected. Sources every which way. I love the Dolphins. I watch every game. You know, I've been a writer for the Finsider for 3 years. I've done multiple podcasts, you know, formerly of another Dolphins podcast with Josh Houts, now here with Alf on the offseason. Alf's Dolphins expert extraordinaire. That is what I am to professional wrestling. I've been a professional wrestler for nearly 21 years at the highest level. I've done work for WWE, my business partner, and one of my best friends for the last 21 years, Seth Rollins, you know, multi-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Like, we got this thing covered. I cover the wrestling, you cover the football. So I'm more than happy to take your takes here and maybe shred them to bits. What do you think?
All right. Here's the first one. They put the belts on Bianca and Jade Cargill. Okay, yeah. Now they can't drop those belts for at least 3 years, because it's just not believable to have them beat, man.
No, look, I mean, just physical specimens. Bianca and Jade, they're so jacked.
Yeah, and
supremely athletic, and just oozing with star power. The first time I saw Jade Cargill, I was like, oh, she's gonna make $1 billion in this industry, because she looks so good and just carries herself with such confidence. And that's what you need as a superstar in this business, and she has it in spades.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that the WWE has figured out. Now they have a dominant female tag team. Like, they're like the female Road Warriors, essentially.
Oh, that's actually a great comparison. I love that.
And they look great. They look great, you know. They look great with the matching. They're not even matching outfits, but it's the same colors. And you could see one looks like a superhero. The other one is slightly smaller, but also jacked. They look absolutely great. But the men, there is no tag division anymore. Unless there's something coming down the pike that we don't see. Right?
Sure. And those things they ebb and flow, you know what I mean? Like, it's everybody wants a perfectly booked show, and in fantasy land you can do that, but I am a promoter. I run an independent wrestling promotion here in Iowa. We've been active for 20 years. I've been the boss man for the last 12 and the booker for the last 12, and you want to book a perfect show. There's so many things that are out of your control, you know, injuries and contract negotiations, availability, you know, people get pregnant or their wives give birth or things like that. You know, deaths in the family cause schedule mishaps. And you want to book a perfect show, but it very rarely comes out perfect. So you do the best you can. And there's no off season in wrestling. So you're not building towards... You know, you're building towards the big shows, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, things like that. But after it's over, you turn around and you do it all again, quite literally the very next night on Monday Night Raw. And, like, you know, speaking in NFL terms, once the Super Bowl's done, okay, we get a break, time off. You know, let's figure things out. Let's focus on draft stuff. But they're not playing games for another 6 months after the Super Bowl's over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they could put the straps on Tama Tonga and Tungavaloa. It's Tungaloa. What the hell is his name again?
Tama Tonga and then Tonga Loa. Something or another. Yeah, Tungaloa. Tungaloa. Like that.
Yeah, I keep calling him Tungavaloa because it's Tua Tungavaloa. Okay, sure. It's Tua Tagovailoa and Tama Tonga. All right,
we got Alpha. I'm gonna task you with this because you'll get a chance to chat with him over the off season. You need to find out if Tua is a pro wrestling fan. As a proud Samoan, you know, as he is, and they love their pro wrestling, and there's some damn good pro wrestlers in that Samoan bloodline. You got to find out if Tua likes pro wrestling for me.
Yeah, and of course he has to accompany Roman Reigns to the ring down here in Miami. Oh. Like that has to happen.
Oh. Okay. I would love that. They could do a little warrior dance.
Yeah. A few more. I got a few more takes. Okay.
Sure.
Damian Priest not feeling it yet as champ. How do you fix that? Give him some big wins, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's got to get some big wins over some quality opponents, some storied opponents too, right? Opponents who have, you know, a history of great title reigns and great matches. You know, you have to show the audience that not only can he hang with those guys, but he can be better than those guys. So, you know, as soon as he won the title, and unfortunately, my business partner kind of spoiled that one for me, so I knew the whole thing going down. I didn't get to watch that one as a fan, which always pisses me off when he does that. I don't ask him to do that. I say, don't give me spoilers. And then he just blurts things out, and I'm like, stop it. But as soon as they put the title on him, I thought that was a little rushed, right? That was a little hurried. I'm not quite sure he's ready for it yet, but oftentimes in this business, it's sink or swim. You know, you get an opportunity to prove yourself, and sometimes you knock it out the park, and sometimes you strike out. So we'll see where he's at. I don't think he's quite there yet, but they're certainly giving him every opportunity to get there.
All right, and now a couple more that are kind of negative, and then we'll finish up talking about WrestleMania in Vegas, which is going to be all kinds of great. I'm going to go broke, but it's, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I tell my daughter, well, we're going, and she's like, cool. So now we gotta get tickets for SmackDown, then for the two days, and then you gotta get it for Raw the next day on Monday. And sure. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, this is going to cost me a pretty penny. 4 days of wrestling? I'm trying to talk her out of SmackDown. Because not too much happens there. It's just the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's just the last show before they get to all the big stuff. Tell her instead of going to SmackDown, you can get tickets to go to WrestleMania World, I think they call it now. It used to be called Access. It's a traveling WWE museum. It's definitely worth the money. It's super cool.
Yeah, Vegas is going to do WrestleMania so well. Like, that's going to be
I might be there. And if I'm there, we'll meet up. We could do a live episode of the off-season together.
I will definitely be there. Like, that's there's no doubt about that.
My kids are bummed out because I told them it was rumored to be in Minnesota, which is only a 5-hour drive from me. So I told them if it's in Minnesota, we're definitely going. And now it's in Vegas. And, like, I'm still going to try to go with them. But, you know. It's hard to take the young kids out to Vegas. What can they do in Vegas?
All right. So a couple of negative takes on wrestling. And if you want to disagree with me, you can.
Sure.
John Moxley annoys me.
See, now I've known Moxley for quite a long time.
Okay.
He's very, very good friends with my business partner. And I like Moxley. I think he's a good dude, and he's a unique presence in this business. But I'm willing to listen to your perspective, and I want you to explain to me why Moxley annoys you.
If everything's a death match, nothing is a death match.
Okay. All right. You know, I like Moxley. I'm in agreement with you there, Alf. You know, these things should be,
if every match
used sparingly.
Yeah, if every match is a fight to the death and you ain't dead yet, I'm done believing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what kind of business are we in, right?
You know, his character should have been dead like about 2 or 3 years ago, okay? Like, we should be talking about, remember when he died in Japan? Yeah, I remember that, you know?
I think Moxley is quite enjoying having a boss that lets him do whatever he wants.
Like, I'll give you an example. I was very much aware that Mick Foley had done some of these death matches abroad, right?
Yeah. And FMW.
Yeah, and I had seen a couple of them, and you know, when he came in with his, you know, with his Mankind gimmick, I was like, okay, this could work. And then, of course, you know, he worked in his Cactus Jack gimmick, but when he got thrown off the Hell in a Cell, like, that was shocking. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
That was shocking, and the whole, like, the looks on the agents and the announcers and Vince McMahon, you saw their faces and you're like, these guys are really concerned. I was completely mm-hmm. bought in. They completely sold me. And then there
well, that was real. 100% real.
It was. Yeah, but he gets up and he finishes the match and takes another ridiculous bump.
Yeah, he is a madman. He's a wrestling god. All of us, you know, wrestlers look up to him in various ways. I've had the pleasure of getting to hang out with him a number of times. You know, he visited our school, Black and Brave Wrestling Academy in Davenport, Iowa, and he gave like a little Q&A seminar to our graduates, and he was gracious and just the best dude. Just the best dude in the world. Mick is the best.
Yeah, but it only happened like once every 6 months. He would have something ridiculous sure. like that. With Moxley, it's just happening over and over and over again. And what's...
It's a little redundant.
Yeah, and I will say this. You know, it's probably not his fault. But one of the worst matches at WrestleMania, in my opinion, was him and Brock Lesnar, because that thing did not deliver at all. I remember telling people, this thing is going to be violent. This thing is going to be bloody. This thing is going to be awesome. And it was one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
Well, unfortunately, Brock is not easy to work with. You come to the event with 1,000 ideas, and you pitch them all to Brock, and he goes, I'm not feeling any of those. Here's what we're doing tonight. And you just have to say yes, sir, because Brock, when Brock wrestles, Brock is at the top of the food chain. And there's not a single person on that roster who is above Brock Lesnar when it comes to putting matches together. So I'm sure Mox had lots of ideas, and I'm sure Brock told him no to every single one of them.
And I'm pretty sure that Vince McMahon was probably in the camp of, okay, you're not gonna get color, you're not gonna bring out thumbtacks, you're not gonna hit people with, you know, with implements. Yeah. You know, this is WrestleMania. We're not gonna have a bloody mess here in the middle of the ring. So yeah, who knows if that's how that match went, and they put the kibosh on it. All right, last thing before we get out of here. Explain to me why I should like the Young Bucks and why I should not change the channel every time they come on.
That's a great question, Alf. A question I do not have the answer to. I know the Young Bucks personally. I used to wrestle on shows with them many, many years ago. I mean, we're talking like 2005, the first time that I was on shows with the Young Bucks. And they're good people. They're fun to be around. But I will be honest and tell you, I've never enjoyed their style. Even the shows that I was on with them many, many years ago, these were, you know, kind of smaller type shows. And you know, myself and Rollins, he was known as Tyler Black at that time. We told him, like, hey, guys, we'd been there before. Hey, guys, the stuff you're doing, it's a little much for this promotion and this crowd. You can tone it down just a little bit. And they didn't do that. And, you know, some people will hear that and be like, yeah, man, they were given 10,000% every single time. It's not always the best thing for a particular show or a particular audience. And this particular audience didn't really give two shits about all of the crazy stuff they were doing. But I've known them for a long time. They have their own way of doing things. They've carved out very successful careers in this business. Obviously, starting a promotion like AEW or being involved in starting a promotion like AEW and watching it get to the level it has, that's not an easy task. So props to them for that. But as far as their current characters and what they're doing now, I can agree with you, Alf. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, and we could finish right here. And you know, I'm not going to ask you to step on any toes because maybe you're connected to some of these guys. But if you're Kenny Omega, at what point do you start looking at your contract and saying, how the hell can I get out of this thing? And how can I get myself to the WWE before it's too late? I'm too injured or too old or too hurt, because it's time, I think.
Maybe 2 years ago. To be fair, Kenny Omega has already been under contract with WWE before. It was a developmental deal, and it didn't quite work out for him. He's a unique individual. Like, If he comes across as a weird guy on TV, just know that he very much comes across as a weird guy backstage as well. Not to say he's disliked. He's not. People like him. He's just not your average pro wrestler, right? He likes things that people don't like. He does things that people don't do. And wrestling's always kind of been, and not to say this is the right way, but wrestling's always been kind of cliquish a little bit. You know, you got to fit in with the crowd a little bit. It's very much, I always say wrestling, the wrestling locker room is 20 to 30 years behind what the world is today, you know? So it's still very much, there's a hierarchy back there, you know what I mean? People have to earn their respect and do things a certain way to be liked by everybody in the locker room. And Kenny was never a guy who did that. And, you know, he's obviously carved out a role in the professional wrestling business that's a high caliber role, and he's had tons of success, and that's a great thing for him and, you know, his family and the people around him. But yeah, you're right. Like, do you want to keep treading water in AEW, or do you want to see if when you're in a company with the big boys, if you can become a big fish in a big pond instead of just a big fish in a small pond. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I completely agree. You know, I have it in my head that, you know, he could come to WWE. Can you imagine Intercontinental title matches, him and AJ Styles?
Oh, I'd love it.
In the big shows. Like, that would make a lot of sense, and that would be great. Yeah. He's still one of the best wrestlers in the world. Like, you know, there's no doubt about that. All right, last thing. If you were going to fix AEW and you could do only one thing, what would you do?
Sell it to Vince McMahon. He ain't doing anything right now, right?
Yeah, he's not. No, he's not. And he's gonna have a lot of money if he keeps selling all his stock. In fact, he is gonna sell all of his stock. Yeah. My thing would be hire somebody that's not Tony Khan. That's it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because
these shows really do remind me. It reminds me of, like, everybody's, it's, you know, there's too many chiefs, you know, too little Indians. So everybody's just standing around saying, we're doing this tonight.
Yeah.
And we're doing this tonight. Yep. And they're putting on a show, like, on the fly. You know?
Yeah. I have a lot of friends who work for AEW, and I keep in contact with them. And I don't even have to ask them how things are going backstage. They will tell me everything, and they hate it all. They hate it all, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get these people in trouble, but these are very well-respected, intelligent individuals who have been in the business for a very, very long time. And, you know, when we're texting or they're talking to me on the phone, they just say, hey, it's a shit show back here. It's a clown show. It's run by clowns, and I'm here because the money's good, and that's about it.
Yeah, and they have so much talent. And which is, it's just odd. It's just odd.
Yeah. That it's a shame.
Yeah. They had Jade Cargill there for 2 years doing nothing.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to end it right there. How do you think this first show went?
Alpha, I think we fucking killed it. I may be biased, but I think it was great.
Yeah. Well, next week we're going to do it again. And we're going to keep doing it until training camp. So we're going to go into about mid-July. So we will see you again next Friday, where we will talk, who knows what we will talk about, but something.
Anything we want. That's right.
Yes. All right. See you next week.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Offseason, American Alpha. Until next time, raise your fins, raise your glasses, and we'll talk to you next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.